Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, Jaesu and Keisu interviewed some pretty cool people. Here's one of those interviews now.
All right, this is Jaesu and Ryan coming at you from Fun Expo in Welland, and we're talking to artist Mike Ruth. Hi, sir. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys. How are you doing today?
Fine. And yourself?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad.
So we were just admiring your work here. Some really nice stuff.
Oh, yeah. I had the opportunity to meet Mike last year at the Niagara Comic Con. I bought his Boba Fett, the Android piece. Loving it.
Oh, that was a nice piece, actually.
Yes, it was.
Oh, thanks, guys. No, I appreciate it, man.
So how'd you get your start in the business, actually?
To be honest with you, I don't really know. I just kind of let things roll, you know. And I was working as a illustrator of children's books and working for, you know, ad companies and charities and different groups like that. Basically, when I got out of school, I was hungry to get published, so I didn't really care who I was working for. I just did work wherever I could find it because I really liked seeing that, you know, the finished product, like seeing it come out. So in terms of comics and stuff, I always loved it, and it was just something I always wanted to work into, but I never had, like, in school and stuff like that, my teachers or instructors were always trying to pushing me away from, like, the comic book, science fiction, fantasy stuff, which is what I wanted to do, because they were of the mind that, you know, that kind of work would not be available, that guy and me in Canada, unless I lived on the West Coast or I lived in Hollywood, I'm not going to get any work doing fantasy art or science fiction or comics, which was crazy, because for people who said they really had a grasp on how the world was working, they totally missed out, because as soon as I graduated, we had the X-Men movies came, the Spider-Man movies came, the Lord of the Rings movies, the Hulk, Spider-Man, Transformers. My whole childhood was regurgitated back to me as in big Hollywood productions. So suddenly being ready to be an illustrator and ready to work and not having anything in my portfolio that fit into all these little genres and niches, which were now becoming this giant kind of mainstream thing. So it kind of got frustrating. But anyway, I spent the next 6 years or 6 or 10 years doing children's books and stuff for Scholastic and Rubicon Publishing and just small educational kids' books. And then when the bottom fell out of that, because, you know, in this industry, it's impossible to get, like, a full-time job. I mean, I had one. I thought I was pretty rare. But when the job ended, I basically found myself without access to EI. I was an independent contractor all those years, so I basically had myself with nothing. Rent was due, and I had nothing, you know, nothing to do with it. So basically, I just started hanging out at my local comic shop in Oakville, Comic Connection, and those guys just let me hang out at the store and just draw stuff, and I kind of got back in touch with the stuff that I love to draw. And then they started putting stuff on the internet, and I kind of started entering the odd art contest where it was like redesign this character or, you know, different things like that. So it just kind of happened naturally, and now it's pretty much all I do. Like, I'm also a janitor part-time, but that keeps me real, you know. But the rest of the time I spend just drawing commissions for people or doing custom covers or doing sketch cards or tattoos or whatever. So really, yeah, just the art's always been a big part of my life, but it's been, you know, it's kind of funny how I ended up back at comics after the bottom fell out of the really good job I had as a full-time illustrator. So it's enjoyable. I like the work, so I mean, I'll do it as long as I can. I mostly these days have been trying to get into doing small indie press guys, like, you know, not Marvel and DC, guys who are making their own comic books and putting their blood, sweat, and tears in and putting the time in and financing these things themselves and no distribution, just trying to get out there and put comic books in people's hands. So that's why those are the kind of folks I like to work for. I very often do free pinups for guys like that for their books, just because I want to be a part of something that's real, you know. Not to say I wouldn't work for Marvel and DC. I did for a time work for Marvel Comics on a licensing contract. I've done lots of card sets for DC, and I've worked for The Walking Dead people doing card sets and different things like that for smaller card companies. But yeah, I'm just basically an art mercenary. So, I mean, I'm happy to draw whatever, whoever, for whomever. And, you know, yeah, I just love it. So,
maybe some potential, possibly for some Firefly.
Oh yeah, I get requests for all manner of things, and that's kind of the most fun part about the job too. I mean, I haven't had cable TV in over 10 years, so I'm really behind on what's cool. And so when I get a request for a character I've never heard of, that's kind of the fun part. I get to go and research the character. I recently did a series of drawings of the actor James Marsters, who played Spike in Buffalo. He also played Captain Hart, I think, in Torchwood. He's also been in the Dragon Ball Z movie. I mean, I knew him from Spike, from Buffy. Not that I watched Buffy, but I knew who he was. But I actually had to do a series of portraits of him for the Ottawa Comic Con. He was doing a concert there. So I had to actually sit down and watch some YouTube clips of him in action because I didn't know the guy. I honestly just never saw the guy. So having to work from video to kind of get a sense of his characters so I could draw them properly and feel like I was, you know, doing the character some credit and not just being a hack illustrator, you know?
Nice. Well, so, if I ever do get you to do some Firefly stuff for me, I have all the reference pictures you need.
Oh, sweet. Right on. Yeah, that's funny, too. I'll be at shows and someone will just hand me, like, a briefcase. Here's my reference. You know, and it'll be all these pictures of, like, the favorite actor, different costumes. You can choose whichever one you want. I mean, it's 50 pieces of reference, you know? So.
That is funny.
But, yeah, I do that kind of stuff all the time. Yeah, it's cool. I enjoy it. I like the challenges. I especially like drawing characters I've never drawn before. It's always fun to, you know, jump in. And, like, I might know the character. Like, who did I draw? I drew a Flash for somebody a few weeks ago, and it occurred to me that I'd never drawn the Flash before. And I was like, oh, Flash, how hard could that be? Wait a minute. And I kind of sat down. What does the Flash look like? How did the costume, you know, on his mask, which direction do those lines go in? So little things like that are kind of funny. But luckily, we live in the future, and we have these iPhones, and we can just call it up on Google if we need it.
Google knows all, right?
That's it, right? So, yeah.
So when you first got into the game, I guess, as they say, do you still remember or even have your first piece that you drew up?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of my old artwork. It's funny, you know. Like, I recently, I had a ton, like, bags and bags and bags of my artwork left over at my parents' place from college. I just stored it there because I lived in a tiny apartment. I couldn't contain it all. And last winter, they had me down there for Christmas time, and they said, oh, you want to go through your artwork in the basement and see what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep? And it was kind of hard, man. Like, I went through about 4 hours of just going through every drawing I've done since I was 11 years old. Like, just going through this really old stuff. And it's funny when you see different stages of your life. Like, I saw artwork that I did when I was a 10-year-old that I just loved because there's a kid that really wanted to draw, you know? And then I move into high school and I look at the high school drawings and I was like, I felt like at that time that I was so close to what I wanted to do. And then I got, like, you know, piles and piles of stuff from college where I was learning techniques and learning all these different illustration methods, and I just trashed all those. I couldn't be bothered. No one wants to see 17 drawings of an apple just to show, you know, different media that was used or whatever. So it's funny, like, out of all those probably 6 garbage bags of artwork, I only kept what would fit into a small grocery bag, and it was drawings from when I was, like, in grade 5, and a few drawings from high school, and the rest was just filler. So then, you know, my parents were like, oh, so did you all go through that? I said, yeah, you can throw the rest of it out. Oh, no, we can't throw your artwork away. I said, well, you told me to go through it. Here's what I want right here in one bag. You know, the rest of it, you can just put it in the wood chipper. I don't care, you know? So it was kind of funny.
I was going to say, well, most parents will probably still keep your fingerprints or the hands.
Well, that's it, yeah. I think they still got some old drawings I did when I was a little kid. But no, it's nice. It's always funny going back. Like, I always hang on to every sketchbook I work on because you never know where your inspiration's going to come from. I picked up a sketchbook I did when I was, when I was 19, and, like, there's stuff in there that's just, like, I don't know who I was back then or what I was thinking or what I was eating or what was going on, but there's some crazy ideas happening in there. So going back to that kind of stuff and pulling from old notes, now that I'm in my late 30s, it's interesting. It's interesting to, you know, kind of different sources you can pull from for
nice. Not to mention the times of your life, like what a period you
Well, yeah, and you obviously see it's like a timeline. You can see where you were at that time. Like, I'm looking at the stuff that I did when I was in college, and I hadn't met my wife yet, so I was really depressed and, you know, busy and stressed out, and I missed my family, and it was very, very evident in all my work. Like, it was a very, very lonely person doing this artwork, you know, so it's interesting, yeah.
Nice. Well, I definitely look forward to seeing any of your new pieces, especially at each of the conventions.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, I've always got something new, and I mean, anyone who wants to follow me on Twitter, Uncouth Ruth at Twitter, I've got lots of stuff I post pretty much every day, Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff too, but I basically post whatever I do every day, pretty much, whether it's good or bad. The great thing about being an artist in this time, in this day and age, is you get instant feedback. If people like your work, they like your work, and it's very, you know, like button. There's tools in place to show you how much they like your stuff. If they don't like your work, well, you hear about that sometimes too, and that's always good feedback. My heart goes out to writers and other art forms, because like the writer has to, you know, the advantage I have over a writer is I can put up a piece of artwork on the internet and have it hated immediately, and then at least I know it's hated or it's loved or whatever the case may be. A writer has to spend all that time writing and editing and writing and editing and getting that product ready to sell, and then get it out to someone's hands and let that person digest it, and then it's up to that person to go forward and say whether they like the book or not. So writers kind of sit around waiting for that gratification, you know. They can only really get it if they, you know, they get a chance to connect with their fans at shows like this and people who've read the book. So there's a much longer digestion period. I guess with art it's kind of instant. So if they hate it, boom, I know it's been hated and that's cool. I just move on and draw something else, you know.
Yeah, but at least it's publicity either way. Right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they say there's no such thing as bad press, I guess.
I believe that.
I've always done pretty well, though. I feel like there's generally a pretty good response to my work. I actually would love it if someone would just, you know, find one of my pieces on the internet and just slag the hell out of me, call me and get angry on the phone and tell me how much of a jerk I am, and, you know, just tell me how terrible my work is. I just like to have that exchange, you know.
Yeah.
That was the great thing about going to college was, you know, you put your work up in front of your peers, and people just rip it to pieces. And they literally rip it to pieces because that's why they're there. And it's such a good experience to go through. I mean, people don't like to have their feelings hurt, but when you're an artist, you have to get used to having that thick skin. You got to be tough because people will tear your heart rate out of you, and you have to be ready to adapt to that. You know what I mean? And move on.
You have to build that second.
You got to have that thick skin. You got to have that rhino skin. You know, you just do. Otherwise, you'd crumble because they'll crush you. They're
sure.
The internet is cruel. It's full of cruel people.
Oh, it is.
That will ruin you. But no, it's it's all good fun. Yeah.
So, thank you very much, Mike.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure, guys. Anything.
We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, whenever you want to chat, anytime. You know where to find me.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.